But Saddam Hussein shared with other dictators whom we've considered in these lectures a gambler's nature. And thus he would lunge for hegemony repeatedly towards the end of the 20th century. In 1990, Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, a neighboring small country whose territory had long been claimed by the Iraqis, with his armed forces that had been built up into the world's fourth largest army. Kuwait was now occupied, annexed as Iraq's province number 19, and pillaged relentlessly. In the war that followed, the 1991 Gulf War, the United States led a UN-sanctioned force against Iraq, which won its battle after 90 hours of land war. After 6 weeks, Iraq was finally expelled from Kuwait, but Saddam was allowed by the coalition forces to remain in power, was not overthrown, and thus he was able to turn his energies to the quelling of rebellions by Kurds and Shiites in his own country who had risen up to challenge him. Afterwards, Saddam felt he had learned a lesson from his failure in the first Gulf War. He allegedly commented that his true mistake had been to invade Kuwait without nuclear weapons, with which he might have held the other outside forces at bay. We want to consider next how the regime operated its repressive apparatus, its strange religious turn, and some of the dynamics of the regime's inner functioning. Torture was endemic throughout the regime of Saddam Hussein. Reports from Iraqi prisons included extreme instances of torture, as well as the occasional cleansing of jails in order to make room through mass killings of those who were currently in the cells. Relatives of targeted people were also jailed, suspected of disloyalty, tortured and killed to deter others. Rape was commonly used as a tool of coercion, as a way of bringing relatives of those suspected of resistance in line. Saddam Hussein's brutal son, Uday, reportedly used the building in which his Olympic program was housed to torture athletes for disappointing performances. After defeat in the Gulf War, Saddam's regime, which otherwise had been typically secular in its Ba'athist ideology, now took a turn towards a new religious emphasis. In many ways, this new emphasis of religion recalled Stalin's tactical alliance during World War II with the traditional Russian Orthodox Church. In many different ways, the religious gloss was now added to the regime's ideology. The words "God is great" were added to Iraq's flag. In 1999, in the so-called Alam Lalamaniya campaign, which stood for the enhancement of Islamic belief, drinking was banned, gambling was banned, a radio broadcasting the Quran was set up, emphasizing the regime's religious turn. Accusations of prostitution against women who were mistrusted by the regime led to public executions by the Fedayeen taking place in the street. Saddam Hussein also tried to identify himself with larger causes by claiming to champion the Palestinian cause and the idea of Muslim control over Jerusalem by organizing a so-called Army of Jerusalem for propaganda effect within Iraq. Saddam Hussein also reportedly donated $15 million in support for families of Palestinian suicide bombers attacking Israel. He micromanaged this incentive program by deciding on specific cash payments for specific actions or forms of martyrdom. Propaganda with this religious turn also showed Saddam Hussein in traditional Arab garb and at prayer and emphasized his descent, claimed, from the Prophet Muhammad. A so-called program for the rewriting of history also sought to rewrite school books as well as the official history of the land to emphasize the regime's accomplishments. Mosques and palaces were also built up as a remarkable testimony to the might of the regime. In spite of United Nations sanctions, except for an oil for food program, which the regime blamed for numerous civilian deaths by closing off imports and exports, nonetheless, Saddam Hussein built up magnificent new palaces, mosques, and amusement parks. After the Gulf War, in spite of the sanctions, about 50 presidential palaces were built at an estimated outlay of $2.5 billion a year. One American general later joked that it hadn't been so much an oil for food program as an oil for palaces program. But at the same time, in 2002, 30 mosques were built in Baghdad, underlining the religious self-identification of the regime. On the outskirts of Baghdad, in 2001, one particularly potent symbolic site was opened, the Mother of All Battles Mosque.